Amir Thompson is a musician, a DJ, an author, a hip-hop pioneer, and a late-night TV personality. You probably know him better as Questlove, founder of the band The Roots. And he's also the author of the new cookbook, Mixtape Potluck. He's been fascinated by the creativity of food for a long time, and he's known as being a dinner party host extraordinaire. He calls those parties food salons. So I wanted to get with him to find out how all those things came together for him, and how he can be such a great host even though he's referred to himself as being socially uncomfortable. Questlove, it's great to have you in the studio.
Thank you very much.
I am actually thrilled to be in a studio with Questlove, just so I can go out and tell people I was once in a studio.
We were once in a studio together. Yes, that's a good thing.
All right, so thank you for coming in. And I want to start with the dedication of your new book.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you mentioned something that you called the Black Lily Jam Sessions.
Yes.
What were they, and why are you thinking about them 20 years later?
Okay, so the seeds of everything that I do with food, and it's kind of my running mantra. I always say that music is the adhesive that brings creatives together. And food is the adhesive that brings everything together.
Mm.
So that said, about 5 years into our journey.
As the Roots.
You know, we kind of just wound up in this position as being somewhere between the Grateful Dead and Fish of hip-hop, meaning that we were on the road for at least like 220 days out the year, the rest of the year, creating the records, and the other 200-plus days promoting that product.
Yeah, yeah.
And so by the third time around, even though we were getting like massive critical acclaim, we really were struggling to figure out how to become commercially viable. And so we were trying to rack our brains on how to draw people to us, because the first few times were failing. Hey guys, let's have a jam session. And nothing was happening. And then I think my manager had the Eureka Doc Brown flex capacitator idea. His Eureka moment was, we're going to put Chef Terry from Zanzibar Blue, which at the time it was a swanky restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the invites were like, Amir has Chef Terry cooking on Friday nights at his house starting at 7 p.m. Suddenly, you couldn't keep my door closed.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I got your invite and couldn't get here fast enough. Chef Terry from Zanzibar Blues cooking in your house?
Yeah.
So once you offer free food, then suddenly everyone's like, meet me, to my house. And as a result, we kind of tricked them. It was like, hey, all that food. Hey, guys, over here is a bunch of instruments. Oh, the ruse, the 1-2 switch. We see what you did.
Yeah.
So all those jam sessions from using food as enticement to come over resulted in our most loved album, which is Things Fall Apart.
Mm.
So let's cut to 20 years later. And, you know, once I'm on The Tonight Show, and I did my first segment with Martha Stewart, and I was excited. I was like, because I didn't see it as food. I saw it as art. And I was like, yo, in 5 minutes, I'm about to bite into a sandwich that Martha Stewart made. Not everyone gets this honor. And then week by week, you know, Dominique Ansel brought Cronuts to the show. Meanwhile, like half the staff has their assistants waking up at 4 a.m. to wait in line for 4 hours for these Cronuts. You know, as the weeks and months went by, I started to notice that, oh, well, chefs are just like we are. Like, they're just as neurotic. And then I realized they have it harder because, unlike me, I've made a brilliant career out of mistakes and sloppiness, the human element, the anti-drum machine.
Right.
So I can embrace a mistake, whereas I noticed that chefs don't have that luxury. You have to be 100% out the gate every time. Every bite, your first bite has to take you to a magic place. And that second bite is crucial too, because you're like, can you do it again?
Right.
So once I noticed that, then I really just immersed myself into the world of observing them and really just wanted to hang with them. I noticed like they're the new rock stars.
Hmm.
So I started having food salons at my house.
Yeah.
In which we'd pick 3 to 4 chefs from all walks of life to come over and entertain and cook really, I say tell a story, create art to tell a story to our guests. So I'll have a mix of 40 to 60 people at the house. And, you know, it's a combination. So it's like Dominique Genzel, April Bloomfield, Eric Repair, Daniel Hum. They'll figure out, like,
yeah, all these great chefs.
What are we going to do? And so really it starts with the Black Lily Jam sessions back in 1997.
So it all started with getting someone to cook.
Yes. So yeah, shout out to Chef Terry for starting a revolution in Philadelphia.
Right on. So now you do host these phenomenal dinner parties at your house that you call food salons.
Yes.
You know, and heading into the holidays, this is the time where a lot of people will be hosting. Usually you host out of love. You mm-hmm. host because you want to bring people together. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, it's also anxiety-inducing. It's stressful. I've heard you talk before about how in some ways you were naturally quite shy, like socially shy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal when there are 40, 50 people in your house?
Still am. Well, here's the thing. Even as we speak right now, the last three food gatherings I've had, I've taken up to another level. So also have to give a shout out to my girlfriend who thought of ways to get me out of that sort of panic-inducing social fear,
mm-hmm.
which I don't have as much as now as I used to.
Mm.
Partially, like, doing a food salon at my house, like, if you have 60 people at the crib, there's just a system I have in which, like, I try to have, like, all these micro conversations. Because the design of my spot is sort of in a circle, I can start in the living room and speak for 2 minutes, give hugs and greetings, and then small talk normally lasts for like 30, 40 seconds. And then already my peripheral is looking for the nearest person. And it's like, Oh, hey, Jordan, do you know Chris Rock over here? Hey, have you guys met? Hey, connect.
Yeah.
And then I'm off to the next. I'll do that about 9 times.
Yeah.
And then I do the greatest Houdini ghosting act of all time. So
where you disappear from your own house.
That's it. Poof. And everyone knows I'm in the upstairs portion of my crib.
Yeah.
They know that I'm going. We have a new system that we just tested out the last 2 times we've had a dinner party, and it's really excellent, where you come in the house and you're automatically, with stickers, you're paired up. We give you a color. And so if you had a red sticker,
uh-huh.
You find another red sticker. And you two are to, or you three sometimes, but mostly it's one-on-one, you two are to interview each other and find out as much information. You know, you could small talk. So what did you do today? How was your day? Da, 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 da. Or you could talk about your life or whatever. And then when a bell rings, you have to give a 2-minute dissertation on the pal you just made. And that's even way more effective.
That's so interesting because I think what I'm hearing is, you know, if you're someone who's not naturally, like, I don't want to stand in front and, like, give a lecture and, like, you know, be mm-hmm. that kind of performing type of person in a room. I just want to gather people.
Right.
You don't have to be that person.
You come around
and you introduce people to each other and you're thinking of these ways to create opportunities for people to break that ice between each other.
I've done about 40 of these parties so far.
Yeah.
Once I had to give, like, a speech. I mean, it was my birthday, so I had to thank everyone. But, I mean, it was also like I threw a murder mystery party on my birthday.
Yeah.
But I had to address, like, it's weird. I can perform in front of 40,000 people. I can address and talk to, you know, when I was teaching at NYU, my class was like 30 people. I can do that. But when it comes to like a small gathering of people, that's when it's like the hardest thing ever.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it requires, it's more intimate. I think when I'm in performance mode, it's fight or flight.
Mm.
Like I'm prepared. Like when I'm Questlove, like I know exactly what I have to say and that sort of thing.
Sure.
But it's different when it's just Amir talking, and, oh, man, thanks, guys. You surprised me for my birthday, yeah. Even though I knew it. You know, that sort of thing.
But, yeah, literally, you're in your home, right? It feels like a different space. You're not.
Exactly.
You should be just be able to be Amir, not Questlove.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the most part, I kind of do away with I have enough distractions at these parties to not have to do the official benediction or addressing or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us, Amir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Questlove's latest book is called Mixtape Potluck. You can find some of its party recipes, like crab rangoons, sweet potato kimchi pancake, and grilled bologna sliders on Hawaiian rolls at splendidtable.org.